the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Significantly, not a ton, but yeah, I just don't, I mean, it's a nice area. I was born and raised here, but I will retire somewhere else.
Well, you know, there's a lot of political action going on there in Pennsylvania. Do you see that? You know, do you really see that? Are people really actively engaged, or, you
they
know?
They are. I'm not involved. I do kind of stay out of that.
Yeah, well, you know what? You got to stand for something or fall for anything. But that's, you know, that's a hot spot. I've always wanted to come there for the history. I have a couple friends that live in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But you're not in Pennsylvania. You are in San Diego virtually.
That's a beautiful place to be. I thought you were up north.
No, girl. The fires were everywhere. I'm here in San Diego.
Okay. Good for you.
America's finest city. It is paradise. It is paradise. Absolutely.
One of my favorite places for sure.
So I'm so glad to have you here on the Edge. Remember, Brains, where you are. Don't get confused. Don't get lost, okay? That's Bobby DiClaudio.
Yes.
And she's from Pennsylvania, if you didn't get that already. She's a wonderful person. And can you believe she lost a lot of weight? She looks like she's never been anything but gorgeous. And so I'm going to talk to her a little bit about staying consistent. And it's not about the weight loss. It's about weight management. It's about food management. It's about your relationship with food. You know, yada, yada. We hear it over and over and over again. But Bobby has a key turn approach to success and really how that's going to get with us and be ingrained in us so that we do the right thing, right? Mind, body, and spirit.
That's it.
Tell us a little bit about you, Sunshine.
Oh, so, well, I worked very hard over my years to get into a place or into a body that I could really feel more comfortable, more at home in. And there's, you know, an upside and a downside to that. So the upside was, you know, I learned how to eat, how to exercise, and how to, you know, really get into a physical space where I could, you know, look in the mirror and be happy or, you know, pleased with what I saw. But the downside is it really didn't change my emotional state very much. And I had to work very hard to maintain that. So over many, many years, probably for the first 17 years of my life, I was overweight and extremely unhappy, miserable, grumpy. You know, tried every diet in the book, finally figured out, you know, a recipe that would work. And then I spent, you know, I got into a body that I could, you know, look in the mirror and not cringe at.
Right.
But the other piece of that was it took me about 20 years to come to terms with the fact, so well into my 30s, that there was a lot of emotional work to be done to help maintain that body without so much struggle.
Well, you know, diet and exercise is so important, but it's your mental psyche and how you feel about yourself. You got to feel good about yourself, you know, Brains, through the whole process, really. I had lost a lot of weight. I lost like 25 pounds. And I looked in the mirror and I had this feeling of unworthiness. Now, you know, with an ego like that, y'all know me. How in the world could I feel self-loathing, but like I didn't deserve it, or it was just a weird psychological thing. So I can only imagine what a person that loses, you know, 40, 50, 60 pounds, or even has things like gastric bypass or reconstructive surgery of some sort. What's the first step? What is the first step in starting to actualize what's happened to you? Because you've transformed once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So the first step is really to be honest with yourself. And that's a difficult thing. And to really pay attention to what it is that's active in you, what emotional things may need to be healed. Are we eating for health and hunger, or are you eating for health and hunger, or are you eating for, you know, to soothe your emotions in some way, shape, or form? Is it something, you know, that's a repetitive cycle for you? You know, you have a fight with your significant other and you go straight to food, or you have, you know, a bad day at work and you go to food, or just that's the way you end your day because your day kind of sucks and you're stressed out and you end with food. So it's really starting to be very honest about what your relationship is to food.
What if you just damn greedy and every time you walk past the refrigerator, you have to grab something?
Yeah, there's that.
I made myself with this habit. You know, COVID has really saved me a ton of money. Mm. When I got in the car, for some reason, I felt like I needed to be going to purchase something. And normally that's to meet somebody at a restaurant or coffee or this, that, and the other. It becomes mechanical. So In that mechanical process, there's a lot of neuro-linguistic programming that you need to do. Conversations that you have in your head. You know, I do that. I look at my plate and I talk to it. Do you really need that many potatoes? You know, and then you extract it. But I say that because you are really into meditation. Mm-hmm. And so that is a guiding principle. Tell me how these two work together for the good.
For my work and what I do with my clients and for myself, I definitely use meditation as a way to become centered and grounded, to become in alignment with what the outcome is that I'm looking to achieve. So through meditation and just stillness, or even creating space, breath, whatever that looks like, because some people aren't into meditating, that's how we can really get in touch with what's important to us. We can start to put space between, you know, that need, that instant gratification, like you said, walking by the fridge, grabbing something, or, you know, centering our lives or our social activities around food, beverage, alcohol, whatever that might be. Right. So really, when I, you know, for me, meditation really brings me to a place where I can be centered and grounded and in alignment with what the outcome is that I choose to achieve. So then I can still enjoy all those things, still go to restaurants, still go, you know, out with friends and do things, but food is not the focus. It's an enhancement to the experience, right? You know, food, alcohol, coffee, whatever. It's not the purpose of the, you know, experience. It is just perhaps a side or an enhancement to the experience. So meditation helps us to get in alignment with what's our truth and how we, you know, perceive and move forward through, you know, our days.
Well, you know, a lot of people just don't understand, you know, the term meditation scares them. They think you're going to be put under some spell, but you're not. It's really basically just quieting the monkey mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Being still and being present and being in that moment and enjoying the breath. Because once you start the controlling of your breathing, your life is forever changed. I mean, breath was the very first gift that was given to you, mm-hmm. the ability to breathe. And people don't take, they take it for granted, you know, mm-hmm. respiratory problems. You know, you see some of these people that's experienced COVID now, they mm-hmm. probably wish they never smoked a cigarette.
Yeah,
exactly. Or a joint for that matter, because people think that marijuana is still smoke, brains. Don't get it twisted. So, but anyway, dial back and tell me where this began for you. What was your, you know, like your corporate experience and growing up, and what made you go into this flow?
I grew up in a pretty much a highly dysfunctional, moderate to highly dysfunctional household where with a single mom, five kids. So, you know, we didn't
five
have
kids. Wow.
I was right in the middle. I was. So, you know, we really didn't have a lot of opportunity to experience healthy foods. And my mom was, you know, working outside of the home. So there was a lot of, you know, us just trying to figure out what we could eat and just basically eating and, you know, being with just our mom and having so much, you know, turmoil going on in our lives. We all kind of went to food for comfort. So, you know, that was the very beginning stages of how I ended up being, because I was technically obese. I mean, as a teenager, and I was always kind of a chubby kid. So even, you know, all through my adolescent years and as a teen, very overweight. So it was very painful for me. It was a source of not only physical pain, but emotional pain. I had very low self-esteem. I was pretty mean and nasty. I didn't really have a lot of friends. I tended to, you know, move towards like the rougher crowd and maybe got into a little bit of trouble. Not a lot of trouble, but a little bit of trouble. So that's where I kind of started.
Gangster. I was one. I'm still one. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
You know,
I get it, you know, and probably your food, go-to food was maybe a little bit more fast food or something more convenient. It wasn't like a well-balanced diet of, you know, but this is what I don't get. I've seen a couple obese vegetarians.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what's the trickery with that? Is it, you know, I know that they're eating plant-based, but mm-hmm. is it the sauces and the creams and, you know, the other things, maybe the bread and, you know, the cheese, those are the things that are adding the calories to those individuals. Would you say that?
Most likely in those cases, there are, you know, there's a lot of, in some forms of, you know, vegetarianism, lean towards a heavy carbohydrate diet. And again, nothing wrong with, you know, and starch and processed carbohydrates really is the issue. So early on, you know, I had to figure all those things out and really move away completely from all processed foods. Those are just things that our body doesn't recognize as foods. And so it causes inflammation in the body, causes us to, you know, and a dysbiosis or a, you know, unbalanced gut microbiome, which actually does create cravings for, you know, foods that aren't necessarily good for us. So once we have that disbalance, you know, unbalanced microbiome, it really is something that needs to be brought back into check. And it can really spiral out of control if you're not careful. When you start down the road with more processed
food. What do you think about getting a random colonic like every 6 months? No, seriously. What do you think? Because gut health, I read it all the time. Mm-hmm. That can save a whole lot of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. the inflammation because you are what you eat, brains. It's as simple as that. But do you think that that's good for the body? I mean, it's an individual choice, I get it. But do you think that's a good cleansing method? Because people use all kinds of stuff. I tried to do a juice one time. That's a whole nother show. A cleanse. What do you think about those things?
Well, when it comes to things like cleanses and colonics and things like that, I mean, it's kind of like I tell people this. It's like taking seeds and spreading them out in the desert. Like apple tree seeds or tomato plant seeds and just spreading them out in the desert. If your body isn't prepared to nourish and nurture those seeds, they won't grow. So there's nothing wrong with the cleansing is good, but there's a lot of other things that need to go into it in order for your body to be prepared to be able to take, you know, that blank slate and create, you know, health and, you know, thrive. So we wanted, you know, there's a lot of other things. So is, you know, if you're going to get a colonic every 6 months, but you're going to eat like shit and drink and do everything else.
Right. And wait for your colonic to clean out.
it may work short term. Same thing with juice cleanses or any sort of like whole, I don't want to name certain things, but you know, any diet or cleanse that you go on will, you know, they work. One, when you follow them, and then when you get off, it makes it difficult. So if you, you know, if you want to really, it's an inside out job.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell me, what are some of the fun things that you like to do? Tell me a little bit more about you. So I'll do this. I like this even better. Let me ask you some random questions. Let me get all up in your business.
All right. I'm all ready for you. I'm an open book.
All right. If you were a flower, what flower would you be and why?
I would be a tulip.
Oh, I'm guessing why, but why would you be a tulip?
Because I am very active in the spring and I love to regrow, you know, come back and bloom every spring and just poke it right out of the ground. I love to be nurtured by the earth. I'm a very grounded, very earth person. So yeah, staying in there and just being able to bloom out every spring and just shine and be beautiful. And
are you a little wild? Because you know tulips, they kind of stretch out a little bit. Yep, they kind of go their own way. You know, there's no rhyme or reason for them. If your words had an odor, what would they smell like?
Coffee.
Ah,
strong, sometimes bitter, but right to the point.
Perfect. I like that. Three things that you absolutely cannot live without, Bobby.
Oh, all right. Embarrassing to say, but one would be that.
Phone. Okay. The device.
And the other thing would definitely be my running shoes. Third thing would be.
Oh, fur baby. Okay. I got you.
Well, I have three of them, so there's all three of them. But
oh my goodness! Besides the three dogs, what is some of your greatest joy? What brings you the greatest joy?
I love being in nature and being outside and just an open space. And exercise really is something that I feel, we were talking earlier about meditation. I call exercise active meditation, right? Because it's just, and it doesn't have to be rigorous exercise. It can just be walking. It can just be bike riding leisurely. It doesn't have to be, you know, you're out trying to, you know, climb mountains on a bike. It just that really makes me feel alive.
That movement, that's good. What brings you to tears?
Just other people suffering, you know, seeing heartbreak and pain and you know, people that, you know, just don't know what to do with that, and, you know, that need so much support and love.
What would you tell a 25-year-old Bobby DeCarthy?
I have a 23-year-old daughter, so I'm telling her things all the time. She just left the nest last 2 weeks ago. So what I tell 25-year-old versions is that you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, we learn through life experience, and making mistakes is just part of it, and to just follow your heart and your, you know, listen to your, be honor or be true to yourself.
Well, I mean, you can't do any better than that. You know, you can't be any more authentic than that. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you. You got some great programs. I know you did some meditations. You had one, but it was older. I didn't know if that link was still active. So tell them how to stay actively engaged with you.
Absolutely. My website is Bobby, B-O-B-B-I, at Bobby, B-O-B-B-I, DiClaudio, D-I-C-L-A-U-D-I-O. It's a little bit of a mouthful, BobbyDiClaudio.com. And I do have a lot of things coming up. I have some breath work coming up, breath work workshops and things like that. So that is a little helpful to help with meditation. So a lot of these things and everything is geared towards helping, especially women, but I do work with men, to stay in their healthiest and happiest states.
Well, you're in a happy, healthy state because you got three dogs. I took notes. You love tulips. Your breath smells like coffee when you're talking on, when you're talking on the phone. And you're a happy person.
That I am.
Thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains. This is the place where the conversation is pointed. The guests are sharp and the responses are never dull, brains. Go back. I ask that you subscribe. Share this, okay? Share with everybody. Everybody needs to meet Bobby. She is super cool. Bye, baby, and thank you for being here with me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.